You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Worth Harley-Davidson North, I-29 in Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
Breaking ball lifted in the air to left field. Back at it, Bradley, to the wall. Gone! Brandon Lowe goes oppo. Takes a hanging breaking ball from Greinke. Hits it into the left field seats. Rays 5, Houston 1.
Molina swings and it's a high fly ball. Left field. This should win it. The catch is made by Duvall. Tagging at third. Wong comes down the line. The throw home. We're going to game 5.
Right-hander kicks, delivers. Zim swings and drives one at deep center field. Way back goes Bellinger. To the warning track. To the wall.
Here's Garoppolo back.
Kittle
throws over the middle. George Kittle, touchdown! San Francisco! You saw that right away.
Oh, I was just screaming his name like, Baker. Baker, you good? Come on, pick it up. We want to challenge you.
And now, a man who has a new trash talk line for foosball, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petra on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB, although I don't know that I'm doing any trash talking these days, as Jed has gotten the better of me. After 16 consecutive beatdowns at my hands, is that a record, Jed? Help me out. I can't remember. Is that a record?
Who holds the belt?
You do. Who is that a record?
cannot confirm.
16 straight. I have now lost three in a row. To Jed, I am not happy with this current foosball arrangement. Trust me, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Jed was the Minnesota Twins postseason of foosball.
He was there for quite some time. We are on the road today. We're at CBD American Shaman, where you can join us or just find the CBD American Shaman closest to you. Go to CBDAmericanShaman.com because you can get the highest quality full-spectrum cannabidiol on the market from now until 6 o'clock for 30% off every single thing in every single store in the listening area. Now, listen, I'm at 13125 State Line Road here in KC Mo. Again, you can find the location nearest to you at CBDAmericanShaman.com. And you can save 30% off on everything in the store, but you got to buy by 6 o'clock today. So take advantage of this. Most customers have found relief from pain, anxiety, inflammation, depression, PTSD, nausea, even insomnia. It is a state-of-the-art nanotechnology that increases the absorption and the delivery time of the CBD to your bloodstream. It is the highest quality CBD you're going to find anywhere. Do not be fooled. It seems like everywhere I go, there is, whether it's a gas station or I don't know, a popcorn store, everybody seems to claim, oh, yeah, CBD. Like, I'm starting to think, like, you know, you're even going to find it at, like, financial institutions. Like, everybody's going to be like, oh, we got a CBD. What is that? I don't know. It's like it's three magic letters that everybody wants to attach. Do not be fooled by the imitators. CBD American Shaman is the highest quality with their state-of-the-art nanotechnology. They are the highest quality, and you can rest assured of that. Two doctors on staff. Third-party lab-tested, plus two full-time chemists that check everything that is coming in or going out of the store, you can rest assured that you're getting the highest quality CBD you can find anywhere, grown and processed, extracted right here in the United States. You can come in today for some free samples, all 100% legal here in Kansas and Missouri. So either side of the state line, they would love to see you today. They're so confident in their product that if you come in and get a chance to sample it for free, you're going to love it, and you will be back, and 30% off because they know how many people are finding relief from so many different things. As I said, like pain, anxiety, inflammation, depression, PTSD, nausea, insomnia. It is something that can make you feel a lot better. It is natural. So I would encourage you to get out to the closest CBD American Shaman. We'd love to see you here where we are today, basically just a stone's throw to the north from 135th and State Line, 13125 State Line Road. We're right next to the Starbucks It wedged in between Starbucks and Chipotle, so you've got a chance to take care of lunch or a cup of coffee. They've got T-shirts as well, the CBD American Shaman 15 shirts that you can come grab here as well. 13125 State Line Road. Find them online at cbdamericanshaman.com. Tim Grunhard is going to be with us, not only a client, but a huge fan and advocate of CBD American Shaman. Frank Bohl has said he's probably going to stop by. We'll definitely talk with Timmy. Neil Smith is going to be here a little bit later on as well. Timmy in the 5 o'clock hour. 4 o'clock, we'll unleash Danny Klinkscale on the city, brought to you by our friends at Easton Roofing. In the 3 o'clock hour, Will Harris will be with us, college football handicapper for ESPN. We'll talk college football with Will. And later this hour, we will talk to Jason Stark, our Major League Baseball insider from The Athletic, brought to you by our friends at E. Edwards Workwear. That coming up later this hour. But we would love to see you here. If not, if you are in pain, if you are dealing with anxiety, inflammation, nausea, insomnia, depression, these are things that can be helped. Listen, you've got questions, they've got answers. Go to CBD American Shaman and talk to them about where it is you are having problems, how you are having problems, and see if one of their products could be a big, big help for you the way it has helped many, many people already. The highest quality full-spectrum cannabidiol on the market is CBD American Shaman, and I can't stress it enough. There are a lot of people trying to, let's say, ski in the wake of CBD American Shaman, so make sure it is CBD American Shaman where you are going to get the highest quality CBD you can find on the market. Let's talk some football here to get things started in the program. And I want to begin with a little bit of Bill O'Brien sound. I have decided. Talk a little Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And I want to, I think this is interesting. Let's go to IO 53, Jed, first. Bill O'Brien asked a little bit ago on his teleconference what he thought of Patrick Mahomes leading into the draft.
Yeah, you know, I thought that Patrick was, I met Patrick. We met him at the combine, and we brought him here to Houston, and just a really, really good guy. You know, smart guy, knew his offense very well at Texas Tech, and you know, we were impressed when we met him. Just you could tell that you know, he had a great way about him, and you know, it was a pleasure to meet him.
When the Chiefs drafted or traded up, did you have a sense that that's where they were going, or did you think they might be going Deshaun even?
You know, I don't really have a clear memory of that. That whole process, what happened there, but you know, I know that we were extremely happy and thrilled to be able to draft Deshaun Watson, and I'm sure that the Chiefs were happy to, obviously, to draft Patrick. Both guys are really excellent young quarterbacks, and you know, so it's you know, both guys have been great to coach. I'm sure Coach Reed would say the same thing about Patrick. Awesome guys to coach, and be fun to watch him on Sunday.
It will be fun. It is a matchup of two of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL, and Deshaun Watson coming off a monster game. Patrick Mahomes coming off one of his worst games. Not that he statistically was all that bad, but the only time since he has been the quarterback that they've been held to below 25 points. With just a 13-point effort on offense last week. So they come at it from very different angles. I'm curious, in listening to O'Brien talk about Patrick Mahomes on the draft board, is there anything you take away? He played it pretty coy. I don't really remember. Yeah, you know, he was a good kid. We liked him. We enjoyed talking to him. You got a takeaway as to which one the Houston Texans would have drafted had both of them been on the board?
Well, I don't know that he necessarily would have preferred Mahomes to Watson. I don't buy that he doesn't remember what he thought. Because I think guys like that remember everything they've ever thought in that regard. That was just 2 years ago, and it was about a very, very important decision in the history of their franchise. Maybe the biggest draft pick Bill O'Brien's made. Maybe one of the biggest decisions he's ever made in his life. I do not believe for a moment that he doesn't know exactly what he thought of Patrick Mahomes. He could be.
So when he says that, what does that mean? Is he covering something up? And if he is, what is he covering up?
If he's covering up anything, it's that he would have preferred Mahomes. I don't think there's any other thing that he would be covering. I mean, maybe he thought Mahomes was a 9 and Watson was an 8.5 or whatever. But to the extent that he is covering up anything, maybe that the fact that he wouldn't say that may not be the mean that he's covering something, but that would seem to be the logical step. That he preferred Mahomes just slightly, but isn't going to say it. So he's like, yeah, I don't remember exactly what I thought then. But I guarantee you he remembers what he thought of Mahomes.
I do too. And I think the fact that he says that means, I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, he doesn't want to lie, because I believe that most of these coaches understand that telling untruths is part of their job. I mean, you have to protect the franchise, the organization, the team. So whether it's lying about whether or not a guy's hurt, whether it's saying that the guy you got with the 50th pick was the guy you wanted number one overall, you got to do what's best for the team. And so I don't think he's got a hang up, but I do think there's a little bit of, like, I think people who are honest people genuinely don't want to say something that's not true. And I do think, I'm reading way into it, if you're in Houston, Texas right now listening, or you're a Texan fan, both of you that live up here in Kansas City, I'm sure you're freaking out going, you're going way too far. Maybe. I mean, I'll listen to it. I won't waste any time arguing with you. You're certainly entitled to that opinion. But when I heard him, as I sat there listening to that teleconference live, my reaction was, I think he's doesn't want to go down this road, because they'd have to get it. You know, he's going to have a hard time saying, well, we like this, we like that. I've mentioned the big difference between these two guys is that Deshaun Watson is a sack machine. Okay, he gives up a ton of sacks, and Patrick Mahomes doesn't. Whether that's just a pocket awareness that is the biggest difference between these two quarterbacks, whether that is the O-line, which is what I'm sure a lot of people in Houston would say, well, he's got a terrible O-line. That's the problem. He doesn't have the O-line that Patrick Mahomes has, and if he had that O-line, he'd be just as good as Mahomes. I don't agree with you. I think that is inaccurate. I think there is a lot to be said to what Eric Eager and the guys at Pro Football Focus say, that, there is a lot that has to do with how the quarterback plays in what defines and how good a team is going to be as far as not giving up sacks. I'm not going to say protecting the quarterback, because I think there are a lot of times the Chiefs don't particularly protect Patrick Mahomes that well, but he evades. And he evades into an area where he's not hit. I think Deshaun Watson runs around a lot, but seems to always have traffic around him and ends up going down. I mean, I think there's a definite difference, at the very least, in pocket awareness. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that part of the reason why he is sacked a lot more is because he maybe doesn't see down the field as well?
I think that's part of it, that and maybe he didn't trust his arm to the level that Patrick Mahomes does.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of
the
pick.
The arm.
Yeah. Doesn't, and for good reason, I guess, would be the way to follow up my statement. Doesn't trust it for good reason.
I mean, I think Deshaun Watson's really good, and maybe Deshaun Watson will prove to be the Tom Brady, right? Very early in their careers, Peyton Manning took off to setting records, statistical numbers. We know it because Patrick Mahomes has ticked off a number of the different marks through 5 games, 10 games, 20 games, and Peyton Manning's name keeps being there. We don't see Brady's name as much. When we get to the first 5 games of a season, most yards in a season, then you see Tom Brady's name. But Tom Brady wasn't piling up the statistics early in his career, and maybe it's possible that Deshaun Watson is going to follow a Tom Brady path where the statistics are not going to be as gaudy. And Patrick Mahomes is going to follow the Peyton Manning, Dan Marino path, where, and this is, listen, I know no Chiefs fan wants to hear this, it's blasphemy, but, it's possible that Mahomes will be the winner. He's got the winning gene, right? That's a lot of the knock against Patrick Mahomes coming out. So far, I think he's done more winning than Deshaun Watson has. Deshaun Watson not winning the playoff game against the Indianapolis Colts last year. Patrick Mahomes winning his playoff game, his first playoff game against the Colts. Same team, by the way, in that matchup. I think the Chiefs got the better of it. I think Houston wanted Patrick Mahomes. I think New Orleans We've now listened to Bill O'Brien talk about it. We listened to Sean Payton back at the American Century Championships talk about it, and you could tell he was really impressed by the kid, and he said, oh, boy, we love both the corner and the quarterback. I don't know what we would have done. Bull. Right? And what we need to hear next is Bruce Arians talk about draft day, because the Cardinals were the other team that were said to be just chomping at the bit to get to Patrick Mahomes, and they weren't able to get there. Arians now coaching the Bucks, but at that time, the coach of the Cardinals. I think it's pretty clear that maybe the only team that had Mitchell Trubisky number one was the Bears. Certainly the 49ers and the teams that took other players instead of Patrick Mahomes between Trubisky and Patrick Mahomes didn't value Mahomes enough. Not to say that they didn't value him as the top quarterback, but ultimately what's going to decide it is wins, right? A lot of wins. But I think there is a big difference. And I think while a lot of people I know are doom and gloom for the Chiefs, and I'll throw this out there, and we'll take some of your phone calls until Jason Stark joins us towards the end of the hour, 913-3-810-810, the phone number, 913-3-810-810. Where are, with the doom and gloom nature of the Chiefs, so call your record now, right? And I heard a great conversation, as it always is, with Jeff Chedia this morning on the Border Patrol, and Nate and Jeff talking, and it was, you know, Nate said he pointed out some of the flaws in the defense, and everybody got mad at him, said they're 4-0, they've won three road games. What the hell are you doing? Stop being negative. And then some of the you know, concerns he had about the defense reared their head yet again, and the Chiefs weren't able to overcome it in the game against the Colts. And now everybody has gone completely the other way. The pendulum has swung all the way to the other side, and the panic and hysteria sounds like people think this team is going to struggle to make the playoffs. I don't think anyone's mindset is that they're going to struggle to make the playoffs, but let's find out. Call your shot. You've got five games now, more than a quarter of the season under your belt. We've seen them play really well. We've seen them play really bad. What is this team going to be at the end of 16 games? What kind of record are you feeling for this? I think this is a good pulse check coming off a bad game to find out where your confidence level is in the quarterback of this team and the head coach of this team and every other piece of this team. 913-3-810-810, the phone number. We're live at CBD American Shaman, 13125 State Line. That's just north of 135th and State Line. We're over on the Missouri side is where you can find us. CBD American Shaman is the highest quality full-spectrum cannabidiol on the market. Now until 6 o'clock, 30% off everything at every store in the listening area. Go to CBDAmericanShaman.com to find the location nearest you. Relief from pain, anxiety, inflammation, depression, PTSD, nausea, insomnia. That's what their clients have said they have found relief from. State-of-the-art nanotechnology that increases the absorption rate and the delivery time of the CBD into your bloodstream. It's the highest quality. Do not be fooled by those other companies that are trying to lamb on to what CBD American Shaman is doing. Two doctors on staff, third-party lab tested, two full-time chemists that check everything that comes in or goes out of CBD American Shaman. It is the highest quality, grown and processed, extracted right here in the United States. They've got free samples for you to try. And like I said, now till 6, 30% off everything in the store at all CBD American Shamans.
New time, same team. The Program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro with you as we broadcast live. CBD American Shaman is our location, 30% off from now until 6 o'clock. This is a great deal. You can take advantage of it right now at any and all CBD American Shamans. We're at 13125 State Line Road. That's a stone's throw to the north of 135th and State Line. Come on by. You can see the beautiful GMC Sierra remote vehicle with the 810 logos on it. Our Robert Brogdon GMC Sierra is out front, so look for that. Wedged in here between the Starbucks and the Chipotle, if you are familiar with the area. But you can go to any CBD American Shaman and take advantage of 30% off everything in all the stores that can hear my voice right now here in the metro area, I'll say, because I know we got some folks like Marty in D.C. we're going to go to in a second that are listening out of town. So CBDAmericanShaman.com to find the location nearest you. helping you find relief from pain, anxiety, inflammation, depression, PTSD, nausea, insomnia. It is here. We'll talk to Tim Grunhard later. Will Harris, still to come. Jason Stark coming up later this hour. Take your phone calls right now at 913-3810-810. The record of the Chiefs will be what when it's all said and done? I'm going to hang my hat on 12-4. I know it was an ugly game, but I think they'll have better offensive game plans. I think they'll have better offensive execution. I think they'll get some guys back and be healthier. And I think they are all of the first five games we've seen and not just the last game. And I also believe in Andy Reid's ability to scheme up something against man-to-man defense. I know that's the thing. And, Curtis, you pulled the stat that Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Colts, in the NFL, percentage of plays that he has run man-to-man every game since he's taken over as defensive coordinator, what was the highest it had been before this past week?
25.6 against the Chargers in week one of this season.
And against the Chiefs in this game, he was man-to-man how often?
73.3%.
So basically, for round math purposes, a 50% jump. He had not even gone 25% of the time in man-to-man, and he jumped it all the way up to three-quarters of the time playing man-to-man. So there's definitely something there. And when you feel like you can go out and just cover the Chiefs receivers man-to-man, I think it speaks to the fact that they are down talent-wise. And I'm going to tell you, before anyone gets all excited about DeMarcus Robinson being the next great thing at wide receiver, he's a good receiver. Don't get me wrong. He's a good receiver. Before anybody gets excited, I was listening to the Pro Football Focus Forecast podcast this morning and listening to Eager and his partner, who I can never remember how to pronounce his name, Jed. Yeah. You know, George talked like, when Byron Pringle leads you, you know you're in trouble. Now, we like Byron Pringle. I think we think more of him than George does because we're probably closer to it than he is. But I think we should keep in mind, DeMarcus Robinson and Byron Pringle were where they were targeting. It got real easy to play man on Travis Kelce and even double him and take him away. Eventually, Tyreek Hill's going to be back, maybe this week. That will change things precipitously. Go ahead and play man-to-man on him. And if you want, double him. But you can't double him and Travis Kelce. And so just getting him back, he and Kelce are the real key points. I'll reiterate also, I don't think Sammy Watkins. To me, I don't see how you $21 million you're going to have him on the team. I'm not trying to run him out of town. He's here. It's fine. When he's healthy, he presents some challenges and opens some things up for this offense. But a big part of your ability is your availability in the NFL, and he does not have enough availability. I can't see him coming back next year with that cap number. 913-3810-810. I'll go 12-4. Curtis?
I'm going to say 13-3. I guess they could lose at the Bears. The Bears' defense is quite good, but I don't think their offense is good enough to win and to score many points. So I think they're going to lose at New England, and I think the one team that if they continue to run the ball effectively against the Chiefs has the quarterback to take major advantage of it would be the Packers in 3 weeks here, although that's a primetime Sunday night game. And that's the kind of guy I think Jacoby Brissett missed, you know, could have scored a lot more than 19 points. And I think given the run game that they had on Sunday night, if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback, I bet they score more than 19. I think that's a game I could see them losing. But it
seems that way, but doesn't the fact that they have the quarterback mean they won't commit to the run?
Possibly, yeah, it could be.
I mean, and look, and we'll hear Bill O'Brien here in a little bit, what he had to say about the run game. It's kind of it's interesting. We'll play that at some point here during the program. What Bill O'Brien, I asked him, I said, listen, the analytics say the run game's not so important anymore, but where do you sit? The Chiefs have obviously had a hard time stopping the run. What's your value of the run game? And so I think he immediately went, okay, how do I not tip my hand about how much we want to run? But I think he did kind of offer some insight, so we'll get to that a little bit later on. I love what you said, but I also think that because you have Aaron Rodgers, you got to throw it X number of times.
Well, I don't necessarily think that you have to commit.
He's not going
to
hand it off eight times in a row.
Right. But I don't think you necessarily have to commit to the run to this point to run for 150 yards against this team.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Ed, what number are you going with?
I went with 12-4 before the season, so I'm not going to back away from that. I wanted to overreact like everybody else and say that this is a 6-10 team, but I just don't have the stones to do it.
I think I put in our A10 Preview magazine 11-5, so I'm ticking it up a notch at 12-4. Maybe I went ahead and bumped it up to 12-4 in there, but I know at one point I was thinking 11-5. Now I'm thinking 12-4. I know it looked bleak. I don't think they can be any worse than they were against the run. I think there's got to be some answers that are there, and I'm not convinced that every coach can stay as committed. I think Jacoby Brissett being limited as a quarterback is part of the key to that success. And nobody is going to be – I just think it's hard to not want to go to the pass. And so I think other teams will make a mistake and not run it as much as they should. 913-3810-810. Let's talk to Marty. You're in the program, Marty. What's going on?
Not much. Appreciate taking my call. I'd say 13-3. I mean, I'm not freaking out or anything. I think they lose in New England and trip up somewhere else. But, I mean, we still have the best quarterback in the game.
Well, I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't know about trip up. You know, did they trip up against the Colts?
So, I don't know. We still could have close to winning that game. My couple comments. Looking at the box score, how many times you ran the ball, to me, this might be obviously a better question when you talk to the pro football focus guys, but how much a Colts were a nickel defending against Mahomes? To me, if you ran the ball more against a nickel-type defense like the Pats do, you know, with Damian Williams, Shady McCoy, and the other Williams, at least take the pressure off Mahomes if he's getting beat up. But what I saw on Sunday reminded me of when we had Alex Smith and Andy Reid would just kind of go get a little pass happy. Want to get your thoughts on that? I mean, do you guys agree with that at all?
Well, and Marty, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate the call. We're going to get to Jason Stark here in a minute. You know, I want to go back. There's a couple of thoughts I've had here today and listening to a bunch of stuff that I haven't been able to get to look at. But they got pass happy. I mean, what about the runs they did call made you think that the next one was going to be any good? Like, they were not running the ball well. Now, I know a lot of the conversation has been, well, they didn't run it with LeSean McCoy. They didn't run it with Darrell Williams. And I think that's a fair point. Do they have a different kind of style of running the football with those guys? Darrell Williams is more of a physical back. Could he have broken some tackles against the Colts and maybe have more production? I think those are all relevant things. Number one, you got to move the sticks. You got to get a first down to have more downs to work with to run the ball. I pointed this out 2 years ago when they lost to the Titans, that everybody said, well, Andy Reid went away from the run. When in reality, I think he averaged almost the same yards per carry in the second half as he did the first, and he ran the ball the same ratio in the second half against the Titans in the playoff game as he did in the first half. The problem was when they threw the ball, they didn't get first downs. So they didn't have a chance to hand the ball off again. And I think that's a little bit of the cycle that went on here, except for they really weren't effective. Kareem Hunt was effective in that game, in that playoff game against the Titans. There was nothing about what they did call running that was effective. Now, were there magic plays that he didn't get to? I suppose that's possible. Maybe there are some magic beans in my backyard and a giant, stalk is going to grow and I can climb to the heavens and find a treasure in the clouds. I suppose that's possible. History tells us for 21 years Andy Reid's been as good of offensive mind as there is. History tells us that everybody and their brother is falling down to talk about how brilliant Andy Reid is as a play caller. Did he suddenly sit on his brain? I don't think so. I think, number one, give credit to your opponent. Number two, the injuries are real. And number three, they just weren't running it well. He went to what he thought he had to do to try to win it. Were there a couple spots to run the ball? Sure. Nobody's perfect. Yes, there were a couple of play calls he probably wants back. 4th-and-1 being the biggest one of the bunch. I think that play call needed to be called back. But I think if Eric Fisher's the left tackle on that play, the Chiefs get a first down. And that first down may have been enough for them to win 17-16. If Eric Fisher's in that game at left tackle, the Chiefs may already be leading 20, 23, 24, 16 when that play comes about and not even need to go for it on fourth down. We'll take a break. We're at CBD American Shaman. We're going to talk some baseball playoffs raging. You hear it here on 810 and our sister station ESPN Kansas City. We're at CBD American Shaman, 13125 State Line Road, CBDAmericanShaman.com to find the location nearest you. Or today, all day till 6 o'clock, 30% off at every store on every item. So if you're suffering from inflammation, depression, PTSD, nausea, insomnia, pain, anxiety, check it out. CBD American Shaman has answers for you. Go ask the questions. You've got two doctors on staff, third-party lab tested. It's the highest quality cannabidiol on the market.
A new way to end your day. The program. Now from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. In his hometown of Philadelphia, he's a legend like Rocky, Cheesesteak, and Bowie. He's rumbled and grumbled, thrown wild pitches.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
And told us the stark truth.
You can't handle the truth.
He's seen all the greats. Roy Hobbs, Rick Vaughn, even Kit Keller.
Hey, Kit, lay off of those high ones. I like the high ones.
He's our Major League Baseball insider for two decades and Baseball Hall of Fame honoree. He's Jason Stark of The Athletic, only on the program.
Yes, indeed he is. Tonight is Jason will be at the Rays and Astros in Tampa. Diego Castillo for the Rays. It's a bullpen game for the Rays. Justin Verlander for the Astros, game four. You'll hear that over on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 on the FM dial, 1510 AM on the AM dial, 1510 on the AM dial. I think is how you would say that. Live listen-ins starting at 7 o'clock with Josh Prisco, almost entirely sports. Tonight he'll be keeping an eye on the baseball and going to it if it gets very good. So I'll be listening for that tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm at CBD American Shaman today. Highest quality, full-spectrum cannabidiol on the market is right here at CBD American Shaman. And right now, until 6 o'clock, you can save 30% off on everything in the store. There's a gentleman is dealing with knee pain, and so he is in there talking with some of the creams that you rub on. I know the cream I used on my shoulder was absolutely fantastic. I had like kind of the inflammation and the pain from just being old and back in the day when I thought I was athletic and trying to lift weights. Now when I get back into the weightlifting, the shoulders start hurting. It's been great for my shoulder. I know Tim Grunhard has talked about the great relief he's got. We'll talk to Timmy later on. Most customers find relief from pain, anxiety, inflammation, depression, nausea, insomnia, PTSD. It is their state-of-the-art nanotechnology that increases the absorption and the delivery time of the CBD into your bloodstream. Highest quality. Do not be fooled by the other folks. The highest quality CBD on the market is CBD American Shaman. Go to CBDAmericanShaman.com to find the location nearest you and come on in and take advantage. Grab yourself some of their CBD American Shaman 15 T-shirts, red and gold. Beautiful T-shirt. You can grab it while they last. I'm here at 131st and Metcalf, basically 13125 State Line. That's a stone's throw to the north of 135th and State Line. I think I said Metcalf. 131st and State Line, 13125 State Line. Just a stone's throw to the north of 131st and State Line. You just heard Jason Stark, our Major League Baseball insider, joining us. Jason, thank you for the time, as always, and I know you're in a bit of a rush today covering the game, so let's get right to it. Are you surprised at all that the Yankees managed to sweep the Twins? I mean, I know it's what now, about 50 in a row for the Yankees over the Twins?
They've lost 13 in a row to the Yankees. They've lost 16 in a row altogether. They've never had a 16-game regular season losing streak in the history of their franchise, at least since they moved to Minnesota. But they've lost 16 postseason games in a row, 13 to the Yankees. And I actually thought, for some reason, that they had a chance to win this series. But watching it, the Uber driver starting game two, some of the bullpen decisions, just looking at some of their guys just didn't feel like they were ready for that stage. It can be an intimidating stage. I don't think they were up to the magnitude of those moments, do you?
No, I don't. And I'm curious as to why. Like, how do they just, you know, forget how to, like, they're a smart team, right? That's gone very analytics in what they do. What happened?
Well, I just think some of it was out of their control. You know, Michael Pineda getting suspended, that was a big blow. Then Kyle Gibson had some issues. He wasn't available to start. That was a problem. Jake Odorizzi, they had to push him back to game three, and that's how you wind up with Dubnyk on the mound in game two. And so some of that was out of their control. But, you know, Ken Rosenthal really wrote a really interesting piece in The Athletic. He's at that series just about how it just felt like Rocco Baldelli didn't manage those games with a sense of urgency. And if you read some of the quotes, if you listen to some of the sound bites from their players, it was clear that, I don't know if they were intimidated or it shouldn't happen. It happened. It has nothing to do with what happened to the Twins back in the day in 2006 or whatever. Like, it's not relevant to this group, but it's relevant to the fan base, and it's relevant to people like us. And how it keeps happening, it's just one of those things in sports that really make no sense, except they do.
All right. I expected the Yankees to steamroll the Twins. So, you know, I don't know that I thought it'd be a sweep, but that doesn't surprise me. I did feel like, though, the winner of the Astros-Rays series is who's going to represent the American League in the World Series. The Astros, I know the Rays stayed alive, and we'll see what happens in game four. But do you agree that maybe the Rays, even with the smallest payroll in baseball, they might be the second best playoff team, you know, built for playoffs team in the American League?
Well, you know, I'm covering that series. And, I mean, you could make that case because their pitching is so good. They have so many arms, just electric stuff. But I do wonder about that team offensively. They are not as good offensively as the Yankees or Astros. And that creates some issues. Now, it's just fascinating to look at this series because they've hit 111 against Verlander and Cole. And they scored a lot of runs and done some damage against everybody not named Verlander and Cole. And now this series is coming around to where it's back into the hands of Verlander game four, Cole game five if they need it. And I think that's what the Astros have to do, and I think they will do to win this series. The question is, does it hurt them moving forward? Does it hurt them against the Yankees if they have to start Greinke, Verlander, Cole, or Verlander, Greinke, Cole, as opposed to Verlander, Cole in the same order that they've done it in the first round?
Hey, what's Greinke's problem in the postseason?
Well, he has a problem at the Trop. He's never won at the Trop. He hates the Trop. I heard some unbelievable stories about yesterday about how much he hates the Trop. I didn't write them. I didn't need to, but he hates that place. He hates the mound. He hates everything about it, the shtick, the sound effect, the roof, everything. And he just didn't, I guess, the worst command I've ever seen him have. But I think he'll be fine moving forward, but he's not Verlander and he's not Cole. And the Astros' best chance to win the World Series is pitch Verlander and Cole in as many games and as many innings as possible. That's the thing that's become more clear about them after three games of this postseason than anything.
If he's got such a problem and if everybody knew it, why didn't A.J. Hinch know it and why not bump him up? Or is that just something, the culture of the clubhouse, you can't do that to Verlander and Cole?
You're not going to start him over Verlander and Cole. You're just not going to do it.
But you need three games. So they're all three going to go.
Right, but if Verlander and Cole start games one and two, you have the option to bring them back to start games four and five, right? That means if they start four of the five games of that series, you're going to win. And it's about maximizing your opportunity to win. You and I talk about this every October. You can't be thinking over the horizon. You just need what you need to do to win tonight and win this series, and then you worry about tomorrow night. You worry about the next series when they happen.
All right. I mean, I just, like, if the guy doesn't like it, you know, get a win with Greinke and get this thing over in three.
I wonder how aware that they even were. you know, because they haven't lived it. They haven't seen it. That's another lifetime. That was all with the Royals. He never pitched at the drop with any team after he left the Royals.
All right. So you clearly think that there's no way that they dropped two in a row with Cole and Verlander.
I wrote about it today, and you know, nothing's impossible. Of course not. But since September 1st, before yesterday, they were 17-2 when Verlander, Cole, Greinke started, and since the All-Star break, when Verlander and Cole start, they're 26-4. I mean, if a team did that for the whole season, they win 140 games. So the idea that they're going to lose two games in a row with Verlander and Cole pitching, no. I know 26-4 isn't the same as 30-4. I recognize 4 is not the same as 0. So I guess theoretically it can happen, but it's not going to happen.
Jason Stark is with us, our Major League Baseball insider from The Athletic. He's brought to you by our friends at E. Edwards Workwear. EEWorkwear.com as the weather cools off. You can go check out all the cold weather gear you need. EEWorkwear.com and find a location nearest you. Jason, National League, did the Braves seal their fate for yet another year? I think Chris Domino down in Atlanta told us 14 years since the Braves have won a series. Maybe it's longer. Maybe it's 19. Now I'm having...
The last time they won a clinching game was 2001. That's 18
years. 18 years, yeah, okay, 18 years. So, you know, they blow it by not getting it done in game four?
Well, both teams take turns blowing it. This has been a weird series, right? The Braves should have won game one, lost it. Cardinals should have won game three, let it get away with two outs in the ninth. Braves should have won yesterday, couldn't get the last six outs. It's hard to trust either bullpen. Seriously, would you trust Carlos Martinez with a lead?
No.
How could you? Right? And so I don't know what game five will bring us. I don't know who's going to wind up on the mound, but it's going to be crazy. This is going to be tremendous October theater. And one of these teams is going to go home knowing they should have won the series.
Is Yadi already in the Hall of Fame? Did that punch his ticket for the Hall of Fame? Is he not yet in the Hall of Fame? Where do you sit on that?
I hate to make up my mind till a guy's done. Yadi's going to be a really interesting case because, you know, there's going to be people who look at the hot sabermetric numbers and say, you know what, this guy wasn't as good as we thought he was, you know, and I think part of this is, like, if you look at wins above replacement, I don't feel like wins above replacement accurately reflects a catcher's defensive value. And that's the essence of Yadi. He runs that staff. He runs that team. When Yadi pops up from behind home plate, stands there and moves the infield around and motions to the pitcher. It's like Peyton Manning at the line of scrimmage, right? He just runs that team. His presence and his leadership tower over one of the best teams of this century because of him. And so I feel like he's a Hall of Famer, no matter what maybe the wins above replacement numbers might show, some of the secondary metrics. I would lean toward using my eyeballs in the big picture with him, but it's going to be an interesting debate because of that stuff.
All right, the Dodgers were the dominant team in the National League, and now they've got to face Strasburg in a winner-take-all. That's not where you want to be after you've had the kind of season they've had. Are they going to go down?
Could they get Scherzer to Strasburg? They could. It's pretty obvious how the Nationals are approaching this postseason, right? They're just want Strasburg and Scherzer to pitch every day. By the time this series is over, those two guys will have pitched more than half of their innings in the entire postseason, six games worth. I don't know. That's tough to win the World Series doing that, but can you win a series doing that? Yes, you can. Everything we ever used to think about Steven Strasburg, it is out the window. My colleague Brittany Giroli, wrote a really interesting piece about the metamorphosis of Steven Strasburg the other day. And this is something that a rival coaching staff pointed out to me, said to me, look at his record since the day he had that blowout with Max Scherzer in the dugout in 2018. And if you go back, he's something like 22-5 or 23-5. It's incredible. He's got the most wins in the league, best record in the league. And that was, it's almost like that was his wake-up call to toughen up. And Steven Strasburg has toughened up. He's made for the moment. And it's very possible that the deepest, most talented team in the National League could pay that price. It's possible.
And he has an opt-out in his deal this year, right?
He certainly does.
Yeah.
He's a Boris client. He's likely to opt out. But does he really want to leave there? I don't think so. It'll be interesting to see how that one plays out.
So do you have a story, last one, and then we'll get to a quick Final Four. Do you have a story that you're wanting to play out? Is it the Nats finally getting, you know, into the playoffs? And the wild card win was called the biggest win in Nats history, biggest win in D.C. in like 100 years, right, in D.C. baseball.
No Washington baseball team had advanced in the postseason since Walter Johnson won game. Seven of the 1924 World Series, in relief, by the way. To actually win a series, I've been at those winner-take-all games that they've lost. They've been incredible because they've had the lead in all of them. They had that six-run lead against the Cardinals. Those were painful games for the psyche of everyone involved and everyone who roots for that team. And I'm like, I do root for great stories. The Dodgers winning would be a great story after losing two World Series that they got back to a third. But for the Nationals to win, you had all those ghosts. You had the Ryan Zimmerman homer and that plot line last night. There's some really cool storylines involving some really high-profile, compelling people. I wouldn't mind rooting for that.
TV wants Dodgers, Yankees. I want Nats, and I'll take the Cardinals too, though. But I want Nats and Rays. That's the fun story right there. One of those two getting the win.
Yeah, I don't root for any matchup. I really don't, because I just, you know, this isn't American Idol, right? This isn't Survivor. This isn't one of the Voice. You don't get to vote.
Not yet. You don't.
Who you want?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yes.
No.
Not yet.
You have to play it out, and that's what makes this the greatest reality show in the world. Postseason baseball.
Stark is with us here in the program. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute, KC's first and only hospital. It's dedicated exclusively to orthopedics. You can find out more details about getting treatment for things like high school football injuries or the big dog. Curtis Siebelt needed some orthopedic help with his knee. KCOI.com to get more details. Jason, I'll start you with this one. You're in Florida. Lots of people I know that worked in and around baseball end up retiring in Florida. Will you one day reside in Florida?
I don't see myself residing in Florida. I do have some spots in Florida I really love. I could see spending some time there. But living there full time, that's very unlikely, pal.
Will the Rays be in Tampa in 10 years?
No, here's my prediction. They won't be in Tampa. They won't be in St. Petersburg. They won't be in Montreal. They'll be in Nashville, Tennessee. That's just my prediction.
Wow, I like that. Is that new info you got there, or no, just a gut?
I would say it's an informed guess.
Hypothesis? Educated guess? Okay, I like that.
You just wanted to say hypothesis.
I did. I like the word. Do you see more Rays or Bucks gear around Tampa and St. Pete right now?
Well, where I go, yeah, Rays gear.
Yeah, but you know, like I'm talking about, like airport, or if you're away from the ballpark area.
Trying to think, I zipped through that airport pretty quick. It was a Sunday. The Bucks had just finished playing. There were some Bucks shirts from people who went to the game, but roaming the streets, You don't see much of either.
I'll take that. Neither. I like that one. All right. And finally, I assume you have a rental car. Have you been rear-ended by an old retiree yet?
You know, that's not funny because that happened. That's happened to me. But so far, so good.
All right, good, good. The trip is going well so far. Jason, great stuff. I know how busy you are. Thanks for squeezing us in here on a big playoff day. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate you working with me there. Thanks, Trent.
It's the Jazz End of the Hour Question on the Half Show. Sponsored by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.
Laissez le bon temps rouler.
All right, NFL, how many players have had 500 rushing yards and 250 receiving yards through 5 weeks of a season? Brought to you by Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen.